Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hey, we're going to talk about this morning the redeemed mind. You know, this is going to be our last teaching for now on the Renewing of the Mind series. But we've talked about, you know, different areas and all. But this morning, I want to talk about how Jesus has redeemed our mind. First of all, I want to tell you that Phyllis and I, our anniversary is Tuesday, 35 years. Hallelujah. You can clap. I mean, how? It's all right. You know, that was 30-some pounds ago for me. But her cooking's been so good over the years that I put on 30. I do a lot of the cooking. She doesn't like to cook, and I like groceries and stuff and all. But anyway, and I had hair then and all. But, you know, she sent me this months ago. I thought I'd just share a little bit of this. I shared some of this with you. How many remember a comedian by the name of Red Skelton? You know, he's an old guy that's already passed on, but he was from Vincennes, Indiana. So he was a local guy, you know, but made it big time. She sent me, he has a recipe for the perfect marriage. There's like 13 of these things. I'll give you some of these over the next few weeks, maybe. But he said, you know, number one, these are his recipe for a perfect marriage. How many want the perfect marriage?
Yes.
Well, Red Skelton, he's got it down. He said, number one, 2 times a week we go to a nice restaurant. Y'all guys take your wife to a nice restaurant? No, Taco Bell doesn't count. Have a little beverage, good food, and companionship. She goes on Tuesdays, I go on Fridays. He was a funny guy. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. Did I tell you to go somewhere? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Go there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll start there. And just want to talk to you about how Jesus Christ not only paid the price for our sins, not only paid the price for our healing, but he paid the price for our minds. He actually redeemed our spirit, soul, and body. You know. And that's what Paul said. He said, I pray God, your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid a price for you and me. Amen. A dear price. Amen. He shed his blood, you know. I was preaching a series years ago back in the, it would have been either late 80s or early 90s. And it was like three services in a row on healing and redemption. And during an afternoon in prayer, the Lord said, he said, if you'd have been there that day when I got those stripes on my back and I'd have turned and looked at you and said, by my stripes, you were healed. He said, it meant more to you. But he wasn't saying I had to be there, but he was saying if you'd got a picture of what it really costs to pay for your healing. Well, I can get that out of the Bible. How many know that? I said, I can get that out of the Bible. How many know that? Is your amen or broke? All right, good deal. I mean, I'm thinking, man, bring out the body. Let's view it. Who died? All right, now, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Go there. So Jesus Christ not only paid the price for our healing, not only paid the price for our sins, which some churches, that's as far as they go, that's as far as they know. And that, thank God if you know that much today, that's good. Because a lot don't even know that today. But thank God you at least know that much. But there's more, my brother. There's more, my sister, that God has for us. That we can be walking in more victory. You just got to know it, or you can't appropriate it if you don't know it. So somebody should tell you. Well, I go to one of those churches, they don't say anything about anything. I mean, well, you're going to the wrong church. I didn't say this is the right church for you. But there's a lot of churches that'll tell you the whole gospel, the whole truth, you know. Years ago, we called ourselves full gospel. And one because we overate. We were full of the gospel. I was eating with a good Baptist preacher one time, and we got done, you know. He ate a little bit more than he should have. I probably did too. He goes, I guess you could call me a full gospel preacher now. I said, well, You're full of chicken, but not the gospel. All right. Now he knew he was a good brother. He knew the word. But you know, sometimes people think, well, this has passed away, and that's passed away, and this is gone, that's gone. Listen, nothing's left us, man. I'm telling you, if anything passed away, we're never going to get it back. Because Jesus Christ paid the price to get it all back, and if we don't have it back, we're never going to get it back. Because what else could be given to redeem it and get it back to us? Jesus Christ paid the price, man, so we could have, you know, amen, forgiveness of sins, healing and provision and all. And he paid the price so we could have a sound mind. See, look at this in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Paul said, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. You say, well, now I just got to find a church that will just stir me up. You know, you need to stir yourself up. You know, the reason why your church isn't stirred up is because you're not stirred up. You get one stirred up person, they get contagious, man. It's like one minister years ago said, I love what she said. She said, if everybody was like you, would we have revival? I mean, they have people, you know, the church is dead, and they want the most dead persons in the church. Well, what are you waiting for? Well, I might do something wrong. You already are. Is this good preaching this morning? You bet by being dead, right? Amen. You're already doing something wrong, you know what I'm saying? So where if I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God? You know, we told the kids, no running in church, no running in church, no running in church. We had one little guy, loved him, man. He's still with us. But it's like one day, I'm standing up here talking to somebody, and he comes walking in the sanctuary. And I don't remember who I was talking to now. I said, he's finally learned how to walk. He learned how to run before he learned how to walk. That just was his personality, man. Everywhere he had to be there fast. You know, and we would tell no. How many have ever heard, no running in a church, no running in a church, no running? We're trying to keep some order here, you know what I'm saying? Have you ever been in a church where there's no order? I was at one time here not too long ago, and they just let the kids do everything. It was just total flat chaos. It's like, oh my gosh. So, you know, you got to have controlled chaos. It's going to be chaos, there's kids. You just got to kind of control the chaos. So, but I remember our little grandson, well, he ain't little now. He's big now, but he was little then. This is years ago. He's in church. Out sitting out in the church. He's a little guy, and he's been grilled. No running in church. No running in church. And Pastor Jerry took a lap. Man, he just stared at him. It's like, no running in church. No running in church. This is different running here, see. This is Holy Ghost sanctified okay running, you know. But he watched him, man, like, man, he's running in church. You going to do something about it, Sister Phyllis?
Amen.
Amen. Now, how many know if you're going to be stirred up, how many know you got to stir yourself up?
Right.
Now, God will help you, of course. You know what I'm saying? He'll get involved. But the initiative's on us to stir ourselves up. For God's not given us. Everybody say me.
Me.
See, us, the church, which is us, you and me, individual. The spirit of fear, or a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So that's what God's given us. He's given us a sound mind. Now, I do know this, that after I got saved, my mind got some help. It needs some help, man. It was, you know, I'd been a hard drug user, not just, you know, wannabe drugs. These weren't wannabe drugs. These are the real deal. And so, you know, that can do things to your mind. It can do things to your body, you know. And so my mind wasn't where it needed to be, or my brain, you know, your brain's kind of the physical housing your mind works through. And so it needed some help, and I know it got help because I got redemption, praise God. Right, now I had to renew it, but yet I could tell there was a difference in my mind already because God's power began to work there, see. And so God's not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, or a sound. That word sound means a disciplined or a self-controlled mind. Or one of the meanings of that word, which is a Greek word, sophronismos, something like that, it literally means this, safe thinking.
Yeah.
And I've talked on that before because that's powerful to know that God's given us the ability to have safe thinking.
Right.
Now, if there's safe thinking, how many know there's unsafe thinking?
Right?
It means there's stuff that will get you in trouble.
Right.
How many know there's safe driving. There's unsafe driving. I was with a guy one night, me and a friend of mine, and he was driving so bad. It was so bad that we just told him, my friend said, you pull over right now and I'm driving. And the guy goes, well, I'm not going to do it. He said, well, then stop the car because we're walking. He said, oh, you wouldn't do that. No, you either let me drive or we're walking. And so he wouldn't let either one of us drive. So we stopped the car. We got out, started walking. So he goes a little ways, comes back and says, okay, get in, guys. Get in, guys. We driving? No, keep going. What? I value my life. I can always pray for my feet. No, I didn't pray in those days. She's right. This is for our sake. This is B.C. So, you know, being the nice people we were, when we got a ride. We hitchhiked. The guy gave us a ride back into town. We saw his car parked in town. We let the air out of the tires. But anyway. Well, you know, listen, man. I mean, we're trying to save the planet. This guy doesn't need to be driving tonight. He's not driving right, you know. Well, I mean, there's things, there's stuff going on in your mind all the time. You have to judge, is it safe or is it unsafe for me? Is this safe thinking? Will this help me? Will this bless my life? Will this bless other people? Or will this hurt my life? Amen. See, what kind of thinking are we allowing to go on? See, God didn't give us an undisciplined mind. He didn't give us an unsound mind. He didn't give us a mind that doesn't have any control. He gave us a power, love, and a sound mind. He gave us a sound mind. Hallelujah. Now, you know, God's done something for us, but we're still, even at this juncture, we're nowhere near what Adam was. Adam had a fantastic mind. He named all the animals. Think. He could have named an elephant a kitty cat. But he got it right. Kitty cat doesn't fit elephant. When you see a kitty cat, well, look at that elephant crossing the street. That don't work. He got it right. How many know he got it right? He named all. He had a brilliant mind. Even today, they tell us that we only use the best of us. The best of us only use 10 or 12% of our brain. That's it. Like a friend of mine said, don't give people a piece of your mind. You're going to need it. You don't have that. You're not working with that much now. Don't give some of it away. Well, think about that. If that's true, that we're only using 10 to 12% of our brain, what was the other created for? It had a purpose before the fall. Adam was brilliant. You know, sometimes people think, you know, we're so smart today. And we have come a ways, don't misunderstand me. But compared to God, I mean, when you read your Bible, the Bible reveals things that we just found out about just not that long ago. But the Bible, see, just like, you know, people, who was it that was it Einstein, the law of relativity? Was it Einstein? Was Einstein. All right. And, you know, there's no distance between time and space. Did you know Moses already knew that? He used the word he used to describe the ages was one called eons. You know, when you bring it over into the Greek. And what it meant was there's no difference between time and space. Moses already knew it. He'd already seen God. Well, at least in a cloud. So I'm just saying to you, look, God gave us our brains. He gave us our minds, man, to be a blessing to us, not a curse to us. Now, why do people take their lives?
I don't know why they take their lives, brother.
They take their lives because they think wrong thoughts. They don't take control of their mind. And it's their mind that talks them into doing that. You'll be better off. Nobody's better off leaving the planet for your time. And nobody's better off taking their life, especially if you didn't know Jesus Christ. You just got yourself in the worst hell you've been in yet. You thought, you know, your problem on earth was bad. Wait till you die without Jesus, and you're going to find out, man, I'll take that problem back any day. Is that the truth? You know, having a hell's still real, right? I know it's not preached on in churches any longer, but it's still there. It hadn't gone anywhere. It's still in the heart of the earth, according to the Bible. Amen. And there's a lot of goofy teaching today that doesn't fit the Bible. Jesus said, if you go there, your worm dies not. The fire's not quenched. It's eternal punishment. You don't go there and burn up, and someday it's all over with. You're there forever. So you better think about that when you reject Jesus, or before you reject Jesus. Amen? Come on, somebody, help me out now. So we have to understand that God's not given us the spirit of fear. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or excuse me, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. I just want you to see, God's done something for you, and that we don't just have to allow our mind to control our lives. Amen. Well, how do you change that? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit just as we have time here. We're going to talk about that. But we just don't allow our mind to run our lives, man. We let the Word run our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. If the Word says I'm something, that's what I am. Praise God. Now, I don't know why I want to go to 2 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Got it? Verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? How many know God doesn't need our input, right? You know. But we have, Gnosis, we have the mind of Christ. See? Now anybody, anybody know what Christ actually means? The anointed, right? See, Christ is just literally the Greek rendering of the word anointed. When you read in your Bible the Lord Jesus Christ, now that's the way we've known it for years. But what it's saying is the Lord Jesus, the anointed one. See, the anointed one, the one that's got the anointing on him. What kind of anointing did he have on him? He had the anointing to get the human race delivered. Amen. That's what he had on him, that kind of anointing. So we have, now, so we're going to read it this way. We're not taking away from the Scriptures, all right? What does the word Christ mean?
Anointed.
All right? So we have the mind of the anointed.
That's right. Amen.
Or we have an anointed mind. Yeah, that's
right.
Hallelujah. You mean the anointing's on my mind? It is, but you got to walk in it, see? See, Paul called it the helmet of salvation. Part of our armor is the helmet of salvation. What's the helmet cover? Your head, which represents your mind. So he's given us armor to cover our mind, because the devil will attack your mind. But if you have the helmet of salvation on. Now, what is that? Well, to me, it's just having the knowledge of your redemption. Knowing what belongs to you in Christ. It helps you walk in that anointing, see.
Amen.
That's why, you know, we have to spend time in God's Word, see. And there's a lot of different ways to spend time in God's Word. First, you should read the book, right? See, if you don't read the book, you don't know whether the preacher is telling you the truth or not. But when you read the book, and it's in the book, then you know, oh, that's all right. See, so we read the book, then we listen to preaching. Preaching that brings faith, right? The word that we preach, Paul said, is the word of faith. So, come on, is this too elementary for you? You got to remember, when you get in the military, what do you go through? Basic what? Because that's the most important part right there. The basic training, you got to get it down, right? You know what I'm saying? Amen. So, even Pastor Chuck had to learn, right? I love his story where he thought he had his duffel bag in the right spot. But it doesn't matter. Where do you think the duffel bag should be? You don't think for yourself now. Amen. Hallelujah. When I grew up, if you thought too much for yourself, you got in trouble. Your parents told you what to think.
Yep, they did.
Right? I just remember, I was, you know, things were just seemed like different in those days. You know, they didn't have, kids weren't so fragile. Maybe our parents weren't as smart. I don't know. I remember our dad just, they just throw us all in the back of the pickup truck, you know, and we, here we go. You know, today they put you in a, they lock you in, you know, put a roll bar around you and everything else. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're in a NASCAR, you know. You flip this baby three times, we're going to be all right. My car seat will hold. And those things are good. Don't misunderstand me, but I'm just saying, somehow we survived. And I remember, man, when we lived in Carmel, Indiana, up near Indianapolis, and we go visit our aunt, you know. Dad had this. He'd bought a new pickup truck, man, a GMC 3 on the column. He shifted on the column, man. And that thing, you know, he gave $1,500 for it brand new, or $1,600 for it brand new, man. Brought it home. Woo, glory to God, man. Got a new truck, you know what I'm saying? And so, of course, it was just a, was it extended cab, crew cab? They didn't have such a thing in those days. It had a vinyl seat, a bench seat, you know. So that meant mom and dad got in there, and maybe a kid, but the rest got in the back. So, man, we just climb in the back, and, man, we go to our aunt's house, you know, just flying down the highway. Dad would holler out the window, "You kids sit down back there." I remember that many times. "You kids sit down back there. You kids sit down. I'm going to pull this truck over." And that meant you better sit down, because he would pull it over. He meant it, you know. And somehow we survived, you know. We didn't have Evian water. We drank out of a garden hose or a mud hole or, you know, a creek or something. But, you know, I don't even know why I'm telling you this. I was headed somewhere, but anyway, we'll go back there some other time. But we have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? We have an anointed mind. God's given us the ability to have an anointed mind, but we have to, you know, we have to put on that helmet of salvation, which is knowledge of our redemption. Which I was talking about, and I don't know how I got off this, but I was talking about, you can get the word two different ways. Number one way you get it is by reading it, but then you read good books that are word faith-filled books, you know. Then you listen to preaching. You know what I'm saying? Listen. Take time during the day to listen to somebody preach to you. Right. Do that, you know. You say, "Well, I just listen to music all the time." Music is good. Worship is good. You need that. But you've got to have the word. Right? See, maybe you're more geared that way. You need to gear yourself a little different. You need to change some sprockets in your bike. You need to gear it a little different, because you need the Word of God. Amen? And so feed on some, and not just anybody that's going to just, you know, if they don't preach like your pastor preaches, then forget them. You say, "That's awful bold talking." Well, you know, I got to give you some kind of example to follow. I want you preaching to somebody. I want you listening to somebody that's going to put you in unbelief. Right? Amen. All right, now. So we have, everybody say, "I have the mind of Christ." Let's say it this way. I have an anointed mind. Now, let's go to Matthew. Let me show you something here. Because Christ paid a dear price for us to have our mind sound. Remember that madman of Gadara? You know what I'm saying? The guy was like, he was like, you've never met anybody like him. I mean, he didn't wear any clothes. He lived in the tombs. He cut himself with stones. So that tells you where this cutting stuff comes from. You know what I'm saying? Kids are doing that like it's cool. No, it's the devil. It's demonic. You're going to get demon possessed fooling around with that stuff. Now, so this man, you know, he was, no man could bind him. They tried to tame him. They tried to calm him down, put chains on him. Couldn't do it. He'd break the chains asunder. And, you know, but then Jesus came on the shore. And when he sees Jesus, he runs to him and worships him and calls him the Son of God. And Jesus sets him free. I love it, because it says when the town came out, they saw him and he was in his right mind. Well, Jesus did. He delivered the man from these demons, but he got him in his right mind. The way the devil got a hold of him is because his mind was wrong. He thought wrong thoughts, see? See, that's why, listen, that's why America is so goofed up and so messed up, is because the people that are the idols or the heroes, some of these people, their minds are messed up. They don't think right. And then you start thinking like them. I know this. I grew up in the 60s and the 70s. People back then didn't think right. And some of those people are in charge. They're running the country. Is our country better off? No, it's a mess. You have to get somebody that thinks right. Not somebody that thinks it's okay to kill babies. You know, someone sent me a picture just recently, not too long ago, of their sweet little baby just born, just beautiful, you know. And I got to thinking, now look at this little guy. He's here today, but yesterday, according to the Democrat Party, you could have killed him. Now, if it was Republicans, I'd say Republicans, but it's the Democrats. This isn't a political statement. If you get mad, you can leave the church. Whatever. I'm just preaching the truth. They got it on their website. That's what they say on their website. We're for killing your baby the day before he's born. We're okay with that. I'm not okay with you doing it any time, especially the day before he's born, but no time. You ever want me to vote for you again, you're going to have to change all that. It's not going to happen. Well, this is good preaching. It really doesn't matter, you know, whether Facebook likes it or not. It just happens to be the truth. Amen. That's what they say. I don't know why people get offended, but that's what they say. I'm looking at this beautiful picture of this beautiful kid, and I'm thinking, you know what? If the Democrat Party, they want you to be able to kill him the day before you give birth to him. He's just as live in there as he is out there. There's no difference. He's probably better off in there than getting out here in this crazy world. Well, you know what I'm saying? So what's wrong? Well, their minds are reprobate. That's a reprobate mind that thinks that way. I don't care what your policies are. That's a reprobate mind that thinks that way. It's a reprobate mind that tries to tell me that God made a male and female and he put them together, and now you can put male and male together. And you know, we've got people today that think men can have babies. They're just nuts. Prove it to me. You can't prove it because biologically it's impossible. But yet we're told we're supposed to believe that and accept. I don't think so. I'm not going to get a reprobate mind. This is good preaching, whether you know it or not. I'm not going to get a reprobate. You're nuts. You understand? N-U-T-S. Men can't have babies. Now that's a controversial statement in America. Men can't have babies. Men can't have babies. Cats can't have puppies.
Amen.
It doesn't happen. It's biologically impossible.
Come on now. Come on. Good freaking.
Let me say, well, my cat had dogs. I want to take a look at your cat because you're confused.
That's right.
It's like a friend of mine. He had a dog. I'll leave him unnamed. A friend of mine, he had a dog, man. And the dog's name was Sam. S-A-M. Sam. And Sam, he was a good old boy. And so one night, you know, they were helping us with a meeting we were having, and we dropped him off at their house, and I get home about midnight or 1 o'clock. He calls me, not on my cell phone. We didn't have cell phones. He calls me home. He says, you know what? I got home. He said, I heard a noise coming from Sam's doghouse. He said, I went down there, and Sam's had puppies. I said, Sam ain't Sam. Sam is Samantha. Because if it's Sam, Sam can't have puppies. But Samantha can. I said, have you checked your kids? I said, it's stamped on there somewhere, brother. So for like, I don't know, a couple of years or so, he thought he had a dog that was a male. There's a difference. Male dogs don't have puppies. Female dogs do. Female people don't have babies. Female people do.
That's right.
Now, you can call yourself what you want to call yourself, but if you can have a baby, you are a woman. It's like someone tell me they're living together and said, well, God sees us as married. We got married for the Lord. Well, that's wonderful, but you're supposed to obey the Word of God.
Come on.
And here's what I tell them. I said, if you can walk away from one another without having to get a divorce, you're not married.
That's right.
You're not married. You just want to be married, but you're, and you don't even want to be married, but you're playing married. You're playing house. But if you don't have to have a divorce to walk away, you're not married. Even the Bible talks about a certificate of divorce. Sure, it's before the Lord, but there's a legal side to this thing too that God expects us to honor. Church is just goofy sometimes. It's just an excuse to live in sin. That's all it is. Did you find Matthew 27? How many are coming back Wednesday night? I'm going to preach Wednesday night again, so amen. Now, chapter 27, verse 32, the Bible says, Matthew 27, 32, the Bible says, as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon, by name, and him they compelled to bear his cross, Jesus' cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is a place to say a place of the skull. They gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. Now gall was like a painkiller, a number thing. And when he had tasted it, he wouldn't drink it. In other words, he wasn't going to dull his senses. He was taking it all for us, folks. And they crucified him and parted his garments and cast lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments, as the prophet said. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture and my clothing they did cast lots. And sitting down there, they watched him. Now, I want you to notice the place where Jesus was crucified was a place called Golgotha. Golgotha. You maybe are familiar with that term, but most people are familiar with the term Calvary. At Calvary. Well, Calvary is just the Latin for Golgotha. That's all it is. It's just a Latin word for Golgotha. If you said Golgotha in Latin, you'd say Calvary. Or something to that. English would be Calvary, but you'd be close to that. Calvaria would be Latin. Here's the thing, and I believe it's right. Tradition teaches that Christ was crucified where Adam's skull was buried. Now, I'm not going to go into that, but Adam's, if you go by the Jewish tradition and a lot of the Jewish scholars, the guys that they know their history, they claim that Adam's bones were kept. Remember Joseph in the Bible, he said, carry my bones. When you go back into the promised land, take my bones with you. See, when you leave Egypt, so they kept his bones. See? So, and Adam's, and there's a way it got to, this is Jerusalem, there's a way it got there, which I won't go into that. But anyway, one of Noah's sons had it, had his bones. Shem had his Adam's bones. And his skull was there at Golgotha. Actually, they feel like they found it many, many years ago, Adam's skull. Have you ever seen, maybe you never knew why this was, but have you ever seen a picture of the cross and occasionally you'll see a picture that's got the cross and there's a skull laying on the ground below the cross? I don't know how many you've ever seen it. I've seen it a few times. You don't see it that often, but some artists will paint the cross scene, and you'll find a skull laying down at the bottom of the foot of the cross. That's that tradition, that's Adam's skull. In other words, Jesus' blood fell down on the man that caused his skull, the skull of the man that caused the whole problem. See? It makes a lot of sense to me that Jesus was crucified, and he was crucified. Oh, see, Adam was the first Adam. Jesus was the last Adam, see? So it makes sense to me that the last Adam was crucified over the first Adam and his blood came down and fell on the ground where the skull of the first Adam was. See, what I'm saying to you is that, see, if Adam had adjusted his thinking, we wouldn't have been in this mess. We wouldn't be in this mess, I should say. If Adam had adjusted his thinking and just thought right, but he fell for, well, let's just say, the Bible says Eve was deceived, but Adam wasn't. He went into the thing with his eyes wide open. He just wasn't thinking right. So it was this is a joke, okay? It was a numbskull that got us into this mess, okay? And now we know it's your numbskull and my numbskull that still gets us in a mess, right? That's why we got to know our mind's been redeemed. We can't just allow it to control our lives. We've got to let the Word of God control our lives. What the Word says. Now, we know Jesus paid the price because the Bible tells us the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Our soundness. Now, and Isaiah said it in another place in Isaiah, he said, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. That word stayed means relied on you, fixed on you, it falls on you, it relies on you. Now, the interesting thing is the King James and most translations say you'll keep him in perfect peace. But the actual Hebrew says you will keep him in shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom. Or literally, one way you could translate that and be honest with the original, you could translate that, you will keep him in double peace. See, peace, peace. I mean, that's two pieces, right? Peace, peace. No pun intended. That's two pieces, right? What does that mean? Well, you'll keep him in spiritual peace. How many know we have peace with God? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the best peace you can have, knowing you have peace with God. But then there's natural peace, where things are going well, where things are working out. See, so I think that God paid the price. If we keep our minds fixed, we can walk in double peace, man. Amen. Now I want you to go, and I want to close right here. Go to Joshua, the Old Testament, book of Joshua, chapter 1. Did you get anything today? Amen. Joshua, chapter 1. Just talking about, you know, renewing the mind here and how we have a redeemed mind. And I know I got a little political, but you know what? Listen, I think every pastor in America should stand up and say some things right now and just say, look, hey, we've had enough of this. You're not taking our country to hell in a handbasket without us standing up and saying, you know, we're just good. You know, and usually we didn't call out names, but it's time to call out names. You know, Paul said, Alexander the coppersmith has done me much evil. He didn't do that normally, but he had to. This guy got so perverted and such an attacker of the ministry, he had to call him out. Right? And we right now have a Democrat party that's just trying to destroy our country, and we got to call it out. So you can't, you know, we're going to stand up to you. All right, just like the pastor in Canada has been arrested for several times because he won't fall in line. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a pastor. He's from another country, immigrated to Canada. You know, he left communism or something from Poland. So I don't know if it's necessary. It was in communism. It might have been, depending on when he was there in Poland. Yes. Was it communism? Okay. And he left there, and now he comes to Canada, and they're acting like the communists. Listen, man, I've got a friend, a pastor friend in Canada. I love him dearly. He hasn't missed one of the conferences that Doc had in like 20-some years. He can't even come now because he can't get in because of this stupid thing, you know, that's going on that the government's trying to tell us what to do. And the disease is real, but that's not the point. They're using it to try to control people. You understand? That's just something to control you with. If it wasn't that, it'd be something else. And so if Christian people and like-minded people and conservative people don't stand up and say, you're not going to get away with this. You're not going to do this. We're not going to listen to you. We're not going to obey you. There's times we've got to obey God rather than man. Are you listening now? And so we're just not going to, you're not taking over our country. What if every church in America would do that? How many people you think we influence every Sunday morning? Enough people to influence the election if they'd wake up and vote right. I mean, dear Lord, if the Christians voted like the Bible, there's no way anybody that's perverted could get in office. There's too many of us. But some of them are just as perverted. They're not, you know, they're Christian in name. That's all they are. They're not really believers. Disciples of Christ follow Christ. That's why it means disciple, discipline them. They follow Jesus Christ. Amen. So, anyway, did you find Joshua?
Yeah.
Got to get my stuff in somehow. While you're finding the scriptures, I'll preach a little bit. Joshua chapter 1. You say, you don't like Democrats, do you? No, I don't like Democrat policies. It has nothing to do with the party. The party used to be okay. But a lot of the people in their party couldn't be in their party today. Their hero, JFK, if he came back, they'd kick him out. He'd be a Republican. So would Harry Truman. I liked Harry Truman. I didn't vote for him. I wasn't alive. I think Brother Kenny was his running mate or something, but hopefully he's watching this. I don't know how he goes on vacation like 8 months of the year, but he does. So. Thought he had a job. Anyway, Joshua, did you find it? You there?
Yeah.
Chapter 1, verse 8. How many know Joshua's getting ready to go into something God provided for him, right? The promised land. It's the provision of God. So God tells him how to take possession of the provision. He already told him, he said, every place the sole of your foot treads on, I have given that to you. That's yours. So now, he's going in there, see? And so God tells him how to do it. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. How many want some of that? Prosperous, good success.
Yeah.
All right, see, he gives us the formula. Now, how many believe this, that just because this is the Old Testament and we're in the New Testament doesn't mean the formula has changed?
Right?
I mean, the formula for success back in Joshua's day, it hasn't changed. It's still the same today. Do you follow what I'm saying? See, it hasn't changed. It's still the same. So what did he tell him? Well, I've got four things I want to give you real quickly here. First of all, I want you to notice the first part of this verse. It says, this book of the law. Notice he put the book of the law first. What I want you to see is this. When you read this verse about what God tells Joshua to do, you notice that God puts the word first place. First place. In other words, Joshua, you're going to have to give the book of the law first place in your life. So the first thing you have to do is you got to give the word first place in your life. Amen. It's got to be the most important thing in your life. You know what I'm talking about? Jesus is the word. So you, number one, you give the word first place. Number two, he said, it shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, you talk the word. Hallelujah. You talk according to the Word of God. That doesn't mean you have to verbatim quote the Scriptures, but you talk according to the Word of God. I mean, if I come up to you and say, hey, you want to go to lunch? Man shall not live by bread alone. I'm going to somebody else. You quote a Scripture, but you're just weird, all right? I'm going to go ask Pastor Chuck, you want to go to lunch? See, now he said something I can make some sense out of. See, what I'm saying to you is but our vocabulary needs to be in line with what God's Word. Charles Capp said this, if you want God's will, never speak out of line with it. Now that's not verbatim. I have the quote somewhere, but if you want to see God's will come to pass in your life, don't speak out of line with the will of God. Talk the will of God. So we talk the Word, right? Amen. In other words, we speak the outcome we want. Number three, and he went on to say, but you shall meditate in it day and night. So we got to meditate in the Word. What does that mean? We spend time in the Word. See, we can't be shallow in the Word and have good success and victory and prosper. We can't be shallow in the Word. Amen. See, I like to get fed when I go to church. I don't want an hors d'oeuvre. Are you with me now? See, now if you like salad, maybe you understand this. I don't understand it. But if you like salad, I guess it's okay. But sometimes I go to eat with people to a really nice steakhouse, and all they get is a salad. Now to me, that's an hors d'oeuvre. It's not even an hors d'oeuvre to me. It's like nothing. Now if you like salad, you think different now, I guess. But my point is, when I go to a good place to get a steak, I don't go there and it's like, you know, hey, bring me six or seven olives. No. Amen. I want the good stuff, you know, right? And when it's not good, I mean, I don't like it. I took a friend of mine, that was Brother Ray. I took him place here in town, and they have probably the second best steak in the whole city. I mean, maybe it could at days be the first. It's fantastic. And so he'd been to one steak place here in town, so I'm going to take him to the other steak place. I took him there, and then the steak was terrible that day. It was awful. Should have sent it back. I'm still grieving over it. And that's been like, what, 2 weeks ago? Ray was like, get over it, you know. I needed counseling, prayer. Ended up having to see Dr. Barclay about it, and he told me to grow up. No, I'm kidding. That's a joke. But, you know, how many know you want a good meal, right? See, I'm that way spiritually. I want to get fed. I didn't come to church to get candy. Right? I came to get fed. I'm not so much interested in the personality of the preacher. Maybe he's nice. Maybe he's not so nice. Maybe he's somewhere in the middle. I don't care. I want the Word. Amen. I don't care whether he's young or he's old or he's relevant or he's not. I want the Word. I don't care if he's hip, looks like he stepped out of off a magazine, like Ingolf. I mean, you got to admit, Ingolf looks a lot better than Pastor does. Could you imagine me coming in here some Sunday morning dressed like Ingolf Schmidt? You'd all laugh at me. You think, man, that pumpkin's got tight pants on. It just doesn't work. It doesn't fit. I'm not all concerned about it. I want the Word. How many know that? Ingolf's going to give you the Word, by the way, and so am I. So, but, you know, we were going, I've told this story, but it's funny. We were going into a restaurant, he and I together one night. We were going walking in together to go to eat. We walked by this table, and there's a couple young ladies sitting there, probably in their, I would guess them probably be in their early 20s maybe. And we walked by, one of them says out loud, "He is so cute." So I said to Ingolf, I said, "Do you hear what she said? She said, you are so cute." He goes, "How do you know she wasn't talking about you?" I said, "Man, you look like you stepped off a magazine cover. I look like I just got out of a NASCAR race. I know she wasn't talking about me. All right? I'm not that vain. I knew who she was talking about. Because, I mean, you know, he had the beard just perfect, you know, and little skinny jeans on and those funky shoes where he had, I don't know, he's got to go to Switzerland to get them or someplace. You know, and everything just perfect, all trimmed, you know. You know, and I walk in there, you know, I probably got a Chase Elliott shirt on or something, I don't know. He's a NASCAR driver. But anyway, how many understand that you and I, if we're going to be successful, we got to stay full of the Word, right? So you can't be shallow. Number four, he said this. Notice this, that you may observe to do. Everybody say to do. You have to be a doer of the Word. See, if you don't give the Word first place, you don't talk the Word, you don't meditate or spend time in the Word, you don't do the Word, Satan's going to get a hold of your mind. There'll be no success. There'll be no victory for you whatsoever. The devil will see to it. Because he'll fill your mind with what he wants in it, instead of what should be in it. Amen. 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 Thank God we have a redeemed mind.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.